Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive, and we thank you for tuning in tonight. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard.
And, we say good evening to you tuning in, and well, we've got a caller scheduled for a few minutes, but boy, the phone line's ringing here, so let's, if you don't mind, let's just see who we got on the line. Good evening. Welcome.
Hello?
To Hope is Alive. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Yes. Are you talking to me?
I am. Who's calling?
Oh, this is Ann Ireland.
Hi.
From Canada.
Hey, Ann. Hey, we've just changed programs over from the prayer meeting to the Hope is Alive program.
Okay.
We did pray for you and your son Trevor prayer meeting, and you know, it sounds like it's the prodigal son.
Yes.
And God answers
very
our
much.
Prayers, and we prayed he would sure be returned.
I thank you so much. So what is happening after this?
Well, we're on a live program right now.
But
we have some callers scheduled to call in for the program tonight. But, Anna, let me give you my office number. How about that? And if
sure.
you want to give me a call during the day, that might be a little better. The office
okay.
number here is 307.
Uh-huh.
742.
Uh-huh.
7582. Okay.
Okay.
And just why don't you give me a call during the maybe tomorrow after lunch or something like that. Would that work?
Okay, if I can manage that. Time do you have now?
It's 5 minutes after 8 our time.
Oh, okay. We're the same time then.
Okay.
Okay. Is this Richard?
It is. Anna.
Okay. Oh, I sure appreciate your prayers, because I've not heard nothing from them.
Okay. All right.
And it's snowing and very cold today.
Well, I'm sure God's providing for him.
I'm sure he is.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, thank you so much, Rich. I'll
thank
try
you,
and call tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
God bless.
And
okay,
you.
Bye-bye.
And you. Well, you know, Pastor Cox, you've done it for years and years. That's how live radio is.
Well, yes, I understand. And that lady was definitely reaching out. I didn't know her story, but does she have a son that's missing or something?
No, she's got her son Trevor is in his 20s, and he's running from her, running from God, type of thing. And they're up in Canada, and of course it's getting cold, and she's concerned for him, and we've been praying for him, and it sure seems like that God is calling him. God, you know, he's just in that struggle.
Let's pray for him right
yes,
now.
His name is Trevor, if you
okay,
want to
well,
start.
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just lift Trevor up
yes.
to you, and we just, Jesus, we just ask that you would come wherever Trevor is and just put your arms around him and just hold him.
Yes.
He needs hugs, Lord. Just comfort him that he can feel your love, your supernatural peace, your security and acceptance, assurance. Jesus, would you talk to him about his life, we ask it. And pointing out any lies that Trevor may be buying into that he's thought was truth. Jesus, would you bring your truth now?
Yes.
So any lies can be pushed away. Would you do that for him, Lord, we ask. And we just declare victory that he has come to the Lord Jesus, made Jesus the Lord of his life, and fully water baptized. In Jesus' name we declare it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we know that our God answers prayers. He does.
Amen.
It's so that, you know, that's why the our prayer life is so important, because he does answer prayers. You know, for wayward sons and you know, whatever, he certainly does. He certainly does. So, well, I saw in an email, Pastor, that Monday night went well. Did I see that you guys had 19 people Monday night? Was that right?
No, it was 14.
14.
This last Monday.
Okay.
And we had, of course, 14 ministers there. It went very well. We had a man from Dallas that had come up, and I ministered to a surgeon myself. A local surgeon here in Oklahoma City, and went well. There were yawns as various spirits came out. So I'm anxious to talk to him in a few days and find out how things are going. We'd like to try to follow up after a few days, and that's for two reasons. One is they always appreciate you calling.
Sure.
Kind of like a doctor calling after a procedure. You kind of appreciate that he's calling to... concerned to see how you are.
Right, sure.
And it's the same in the ministry like this. People really like it that we call and follow up to see how they are. And then also it's for the minister, because it's always exciting to hear how things changed in their life, even just a few days. That builds faith for all of us. And I love to talk to people after they've had ministry. And of course, as you know, I did a radio show locally here in Oklahoma City for 22 years and
yes.
5 days a week, and it pre-taped, and it was a testimony show. It was people that had had deliverance, the casting out of evil spirits, and they told how fear and anger and rage left, and all kinds of addictions and infirmities and migraines, and just went on, the things that would happen. And so that's good for the minister as well. It continues to build faith. I did minister to a man in the office this afternoon. He was from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and that went very well. And we felt spirits come out and they yawned quite a bit. I finally asked him if he normally sat around and yawned like this. Of course, he said, well, no. And of course, that's always a sign there's spirits coming out. But when I did the limb check, you know, when people have back problems and stuff, but we've learned to do that anyway, his right leg was about a half inch short, and in a very quick prayer in Jesus' name, adjust, and pain go, it came right out. And then I had him stand up and hold his arm straight out with his fingers straight. And I hadn't seen one of these in a while, but his left arm was a good inch and a half short. I had him bend at the elbow so he could see how short that left arm was. And so then I had him straighten the back out and take them apart just a little bit so they can move easily. And I put my hand under his hand and did the same commanding in Jesus' name, adjust, pain, go, muscles, tendons, ligaments, and nerves, adjust in the godly order and balance. And it came right out.
Praise
and,
the Lord.
And I had him bend at the elbows again. Now his arms were equal. That's what chiropractors do a lot, of course, that we have the ability to speak in Jesus' name and that power go forth directly. I've seen 38 years of those now. The little church I first started going to was doing it, and so I, of course, taught the teams that helped me to do that, and it's kind of fun at the end of the evening where I can see people in the big room we use. We spread out around the church, but there's always some in the same little sanctuary room that we use, and I see them scattered around. They're doing the limb check, you know.
Uh-huh.
all Christians can do it. That's the exciting thing. It's not a gift thing. It's actually just normal Christianity, just speak in Jesus' name and see infirmity spirits go and see healing come, and, of course, evil spirits cast out.
Well, praise the Lord.
High adventures, I'm always saying.
Amen. Sure, that's right, that's right. Well, there's, and folks, if you're tuning in, you can go to the website, deliveranceusa.com, deliveranceusa.com, for more information. And there's quite a bit there. And Pastor Cox, we've got our caller. It's about that time, and Jim's on the line. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening, Richard. How you doing?
Yeah, hi, Jim. Thanks.
Hey,
for
Brett.
In.
Yeah, good to hear your voice. Glad to call back.
Yes. How's everything in New Orleans?
It's alive and well. You know, things are settling down. We, unfortunately, hurricanes are still around, and you know, we're sorry for the folks that are experiencing the one now. We're always thankful when they don't come this way, but they end up going somewhere.
Yes, and it really does look like it's going to hit the Florida coast, east coast there, and like 40 mile an hour winds or something like that. So
yeah,
we just all agree that the Holy Spirit will protect those people and property, and we just even speak to the storm since we're all here in agreement talking about it, and we just to command in Jesus' name for that storm to dissipate and to turn on out the sea, but just mainly dissipate in Jesus' name. We have authority over all the enemy and any demonic activity connected with that storm, and often there is. Just as Jesus spoke to the storm, we can too. We're to do his same works in his name, John 14:12. So we just command that storm to dissipate now, supernaturally dissipate. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We're all in agreement. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Well, Jim, I'd ask you to call in if you could share some on how you first heard about this part of the gospel, this works of Jesus that's called deliverance or casting out of evil spirits, and then also share any experiences that you might have had and that would be uplifting, you know, for the people. And also, you might back away from the phone just a little bit. It sounded like it was over-deviating some, so you might just back off from the phone just a little. And it'd probably be a little more clear. But go ahead.
Sure. Is that sounding a little better, Everett?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Okay, sure, sure. Well, you know, a quick recap in life. I discovered Jesus as my Savior back in 72, and a few years after that came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, came into the gift of tongues, and other than my salvation, I guess I never really took it real serious in my life, and it wasn't until, I guess, years later that when I moved south, and I remember some folks praying with me for what they called inner healing back at that time, and going through some struggles in my life. I don't remember them approaching it as you folks do at Deliverance Ministries, particularly in the door closing and some of those items. So anyway, continued to live my life with some struggles and some what I would call personal moral failings, and it seemed like I in many ways was living a Christian life on one side and a struggle emotionally, I thought, on the other. And but always going back to praying in tongues, and in fact during those years found myself praying personally. Looking back, it's what you all refer to as self-deliverance. There were many times I would find myself what I felt was just an emotional struggle, and when I took the time to sit down, seek the Lord, pray in tongues, and direct my prayers against what I thought were feelings and emotions, negative feelings and emotions, anger, fear, lust, whatever it happened to be, I found a relief, but probably didn't, and yawning, but really didn't understand what was going on. I just knew I felt better. So that went on for a number of years. Now, if I went back 10 years ago, I was leaving my office, and I was listening to Christian radio. I had it on my car. It was a local radio station, but I don't remember where you were being interviewed, Everett, by some radio station. And at the time, I caught just kind of the last goodbye, at which time you were describing quickly describing your deliverance ministry there in Oklahoma City and how to get in touch with you all. And when I heard that, yeah, my spirit just rose up. It was like I couldn't believe it. There were some struggles going on. A young friend of mine was struggling with drug issues, and I just knew that you were part of the Lord's plan in this. So, as I say, that's going back 10 years ago. I remember calling. I talked with Richard Peterson at your office. We had a wonderful conversation, and he encouraged me and the young friend to come out there and experience ministry with your team. And we did that, and it really put together for me personally, it put together what I had been experiencing over the years of praying in tongues, finding what I thought was emotions changing in me and leaving, and the yawning and I'll even say gagging that went on in my self-deliverance. Your teaching and your ministry explained what I had been personally experiencing, but couldn't find anybody else in the circles that I traveled with that kind of really understood what was going on. And so that was 10 years ago. The young person, as you know, we were back out there a few weeks ago, And both of us received, said, well, you know, there's some struggles going on in our life again. And so we came out and you all ministered to us. And in my life, it put more things together. You know, it's almost embarrassing to think that I'm as old as I am. You know, I've been saved for 40-some years, and yet that part of my spiritual journey is I'm just really coming to understand the authority and the power that we have in Jesus and in His name and by the gifts of His Spirit. Is that making sense, Everett?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. So go right ahead. You're doing well there, Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, yes. So, so on this journey, one of your ministers prayed with me. There were some issues that actually I'd spent about a year and a half with a Christian men's group here. Actually, a Christian counselor to start with. I said, you know, I really, at my age, I said, I've got to make some sense of my life and what's been going on. So I met with a Christian counselor for quite a period of time and joined a Christian men's group, and we really looked at purity, Christian purity in men's lives, and spent almost a year meeting monthly with a workbook, sharing and talking about where our life had been and where we hoped it was going. And so when I came out there, out to see you folks, part of that was in the ministry that I had asked for, and of course your checklist of things that are either feelings or, in this case, spirits of harassment. The minister and I prayed together, and I was really blessed. I'm convinced now that things that I felt were feelings in the past may well have been feelings, but they had a spiritual entity prompting them. And I now know that, you know, what had been going on in the past in my life when I would sit down and pray in tongues about things like, again, anger, frustration, lust, whatever it happened to be, when the change took place in my at the feeling level, I now understand that by everything I understand, I was chasing demons out of my being and out of my presence, and it's a joy, even at my age, to understand that what's been taking place in my life has sound Christian doctrine foundation, and I'm thankful for that. I heard this evening the young man that came out with us. He is having some struggles in the issues that he was dealing with. We trust that the Lord is working in his life, and that you know, that ultimately you know, he'll find healing in the struggle of his life. But I'm sorry, go ahead, Jim.
Well, is his back better, Jim? Is his back still doing okay?
I talked with him this evening, and he was as you know, there were some drug issue struggles in his life, and that seems to be something that he's battling with even this evening. I really don't have an answer to the question.
You might really encourage him to follow those keys for staying free. They're so important. You know, getting free is one thing, staying free is another. And having to go over those, that's on that brown handout, and he may have that yellow handout as well. So encourage him to go through those.
Yeah, being there again this time for me reaffirmed that. when I look back over the last 10 years, even, you know, I thought I was growing as a Christian. When I look back, I see one or two spots in there where I was not keeping doors closed. And I see how critical that is in staying free, for sure.
Yes.
And
James 4:7 points out, if anything does try to come back, you don't want to sit there. You want to do as that scripture says, submit yourself to God, which he's done, but then resist the devil and he will flee, as that passage says. And so we have this amazing power in Jesus' name, but if something tries to come back, you need to resist it. Usually only two or three commands for it to go, identifying it by its function, like fear or drugs or whatever it is. To go in Jesus' name, three or four commands will likely blow it away. But it's just, we're in a battle and we have to keep shooting as it may be necessary. Sometimes the medicine has to be reapplied. Amen?
Right. Yes. And I did pray with the young man this evening, in a fashion, different than I've prayed in the past, thanks to your ministry. And then I was looking back in your the one book that you have available, and there's a section in there about praying for others, praying for someone else at a distance or someone that's not present. And found some encouragement in the method of prayer that you were suggesting in there also.
Yes. That's in the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. And
yes.
That's not just a book, as you've seen. It is a book manual that actually has these steps, even checklist, on how to do this kind of ministry. And that is one of the chapters in there is how to pray for someone at distance. And also, that can be done not just post-deliverance, but actually trying to get someone to come for deliverance, of binding up the spirits and declaring them deaf and mute and they're gagged where they can't talk to the person, and then asking Jesus to come and talk truth to them. And that often will get the person to the point to where they will reach out. That works even for salvation, for that matter, of getting him to reach out to Jesus where someone is not saved. Well, Jim, when you were ministered to, could you feel those spirits moving in your body any, or what was your experience?
My big experience then and in the past has always been a tremendous sense of yawning. And so when, if I can mention, Frank was praying with me as he went down through my checklist and said, okay, we're going to be praying about this right here. When he would begin to pray, focusing in, as you say, pointing the power, I've experienced this alone by myself, but as he was praying, that deep sense of there's a yawn wanting to come up out of me, just a deep, and it would just kind of start in, down in my lungs someplace and just rise up into my throat, and then just a tremendous yawn. And that's been typical in when I would pray for myself and as Frank paid through the different ones, and always a sense of relief after that. Always a sense of I don't know, maybe like taking a bath or changing your dirty socks or something. You know, it was always just a sense of, relief and freedom and peace in that area.
Yeah, that's quite common. That's yawning is probably the most common. Some people cough them out, some burp them out, or they just feel them go. You know, but usually, any one spirit comes out, a person will feel a little better, and then you get several out, you're feeling better. You get a dozen out, you're really feeling good. You get three dozen out or so, which is typical. My gosh, the guy's on a huge high. and they feel lighter as they report. So we hear that all the time. I feel lighter, they say.
Right. Yeah, finding support, Christian support for this kind of ministry. My experience is that it's difficult. You know, I've shared the experience with some people, and I don't know if they look at me like I'm crazy or I've gone off the deep end of Christianity, or I've lost my bearings, but. My experience has been that there aren't a lot of people that, and I'm talking Christians, that really say, oh, yeah, that is really, you know, we need to do more of that. So finding that kind of support, and when I look back over the years, even though I have been part of I'll call it Catholic Charismatic, but I also call it a Catholic Pentecostal because although we have always worshipped in the Catholic Church, we believe in a personal relationship with Christ. We believe in the baptism of the Spirit. We believe in the gift of tongues and healing. And but even in that community, the idea of deliverance that scares people. And tradition,
that really represents. That probably represents about 90% of the Christian body, and it is sad. When I first got introduced to it, I wondered, why isn't everybody doing this? You know, I saw it work. I heard the testimonies, and I looked around, and I didn't see anyone in the churches doing it. And even that was 38 years ago, and even today, I still wonder, why isn't everybody doing this? I know the enemy must be behind that of speaking and suggesting in a person's head that it's far out. But praise God, we're doing what it says to do, where Jesus said to cast out demons and heal the sick. We're doing his works in his name, and it does help people. Whoever wants help, we can take them by the hand and get them to that goal line. Well, Jim,
you've certainly helped your ministry, and you personally have helped me in that area, and I appreciate it. Yes.
Well, maybe it's up to you to go ahead and set New Orleans free now.
Yeah, I heard you mention that when I was out there, and I guess maybe. I'll start with those folks I know and see where it goes from there. Yes.
If you can't find anybody doing it, go ahead and do it yourself. Amen.
Amen. Right. Right. Well, as I say, I've been prayed with that young man this evening, and I find my approach in prayer is more consistent with your ministry than it has been in the past. So maybe the Lord's leading me in that direction.
Amen. Well, there's the need is much, no doubt, down there as it is here, and the workers are few.
Yes.
Well, Jim, I appreciate you calling in, and tell Peter hi, and we'll keep agreeing that he's totally set free and healed.
Amen. I appreciate it. Thank you, Everett. Appreciate your time.
Okay. God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Wow, strong testimony. And that sure resounds with me, that, you know, the praying for his friend. Was it Peter?
Yes.
You know, for healing as well. You know, it's good to hear and see that the hearts of our people are being turned to, you know, to the needs and concerns of others.
Yes. And you know that resisting, that James 4:7, 1 Peter 5:8 says the same, to resist the spirits, that is such a necessary part of initially getting free, but also when they make runs back at the house, you need to resist and keep them out. I've heard many testimonies. There was one lady in our that I know that came from ministry. She had a spirit of fear of public speaking, and she got ministry, felt the spirit moving around, came up in her neck, finally came out. I ministered to her. I remember it really well, because I had her on the radio show later for the testimony. But she was beautifully set free of that fear of public speaking. Her company was sending her out to do seminars, and it was very hard on her. She'd even throw up beforehand. But after ministry, she just had more fun doing the seminar, didn't have that problem at all. But in about 6 months, she was in Chicago in her hotel room, getting ready to go down to do another one of these seminars in the meeting room, and that spirit of fear started hanging around. And she should have remembered right then to resist in Jesus' name and command it to go, but she somehow kind of locked up and just started crying out, "Lord, help me with this. Do something. I can't handle this." Well, the Lord did something, and it was very scriptural. He said to, her name was Shirley, he said, "Shirley, get off of your knees, stand up, and tell that spirit of fear to go in my name." And Shirley stood up, spoke out in Jesus' name, commanding fear to go, and it blew off. And, of course, that's very scriptural what Jesus
yes.
said.
Praise
she
the Lord.
Should have remembered it. And it she went down, did the meeting, had fun doing it, and has been free ever since. So it's just an example of how we may have to resist later.
Yes. Yes, we have that daily fight of faith. I think the Bible talks about, you know, that we have to put forth the effort and continue to to strive for the goal, to run as to win the race.
Yes,
I think Paul talks about. Well, I know we have another caller. I don't see the phone line ringing yet, but I guess it's. But if we do, we'll sure bring them on. And again, folks, the website is deliveranceusa.com, and there's quite a bit of information there. Some self-deliverance, some self-help type of teachings, and that you can take a look at. And Pastor Cox, you want to talk about your book? We had just got another case in not too long ago, and we've sure still been sending some out. And, you know, as soon as I say that, the phone line rings, so that's a good thing. Let's go the caller. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the Hope is Alive program.
Hi, Richard. It's Dee again. I need prayers for my mom because she's at Hofstra's Hospital, and she's losing a lot of weight, and she has Alzheimer's. She really needs prayers, and my dad, too, for healing, and, of course, me and my husband.
Okay,
Dee.
We'll sure do
Dee.
It. Right. Well, Heavenly Father, we pray for Mom and Dad here, Lord, for your health and healing to be upon them, Lord. We know that we have the designated days that you have determined beforehand. But Lord, we pray for good, healthy days for Mom and Dad here, Lord. We do. And Lord, we pray that the days that they have are Lord, days of clear mind and strong body and health to your glory. And Lord, that's our request, Lord. Lord, be with Bea. Be with her, Lord, and her husband. We lift their marriage up to you, Lord. And as we prayed before, Father, we, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come against any third parties, any that would wish to cause this marriage harm. And Lord, we know that all things are possible. In your name, and all things are possible. We can do all things in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we do. We pray for your blessings to be here with Bea and her husband and her marriage, and bless that. And Lord, just let your Holy Spirit presence be felt there. We ask you, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, come into this home, into this marriage, and dwell there, O Father, and let these... Let this husband and wife, Lord, draw nearer to you. And let it be to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Richard.
Amen.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Good night. Bye.
All right. Praise God. There must be somebody you know there.
It's a family on the ministry, it is, and we've been praying with her, and it's a family under attack, a marriage under attack. We fight that daily fight of faith and that battle, and again, have to realize that the word is true. Greater is he that is for us than anything that can come against us. It's sometimes, I think, just getting that realization down. I was reading Ephesians 6 today about, that we battle against the spiritual forces of darkness. And it's battle. We have those myriads of angels on our side, but we have to battle. We have to remember that we have the greater power and authority.
Amen. I'm always suggesting that people learn Luke 10:19, the man I ministered to this afternoon at the ministry office. He had not memorized it yet, and it's a great scripture to learn. It's a scripture we use a lot, which reads that in Jesus' name we have power over all the enemy, the demonic, and the promise even that nothing will harm us. So when we speak that, it pounds the enemy right off. It's kind of like praying in tongues. That pounds them as well. I've actually had demons when they were manifesting tell me that when the person speaks in the tongues, it hurts them. And so I want to hurt them. I want to pray in tongues and hurt them. I want to quote Luke 10:19 and hurt him some more. And of course, the power being primarily in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, blow those things on out so people can get on with their lives and their destinies. Now, the enemy is pretty good at blocking there, and he's doing it in a major way in the body of Christ. Imagine what the body of Christ would be like, Richard, if the body of Christ was set free. We find that the Christians, we minister to normal looking Christians that come. They could be sitting in any church when you look at the people that come, like on a Monday night, like the 14 cases we did this last Monday. They look like just the normal church group, and yet they would, each person unloaded in the neighborhood of around 36 demons each. So we got a long ways to go to get the word out, but that's what we're trying to do. And just like on this program, it's time that body of Christ learned who they are in Jesus and learned about the enemy.
Yes.
If you do not understand this, you're terribly vulnerable as a Christian, because the enemy is wants to block every Christian's life. We might share Jesus, and we might use our God-given gifts, etc. Their mission is to block all that and to take a Christian out if they can, and they're very good at it. They've had lots of practice. You were about to mention the book, Doing the Supernatural
Yes.
Works of Jesus. It's not just a book. It does have my testimony in it on how I got introduced to this myself 38 years ago now, and then how I got introduced and saw my first manifestations of demons actually talking out of a Christian's mouth, and then as the pastor that was leading it moved on into casting the spirits out, then the testimonies came back of how those problem areas were now gone. And so that's when it soaked in with me. It's real. And I decided I'm going to learn about it. So I started going to the bookstores, Christian bookstores, and there were several here in Oklahoma City back then and of course they're still here, different stores, but they had whole sections of books on how to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And I didn't even know what was going on, didn't know the spirit world was doing so many things out around us. And so I started buying these books on testimonies and books on techniques and how to cast out spirits and so on. I just, something swelled up inside of me, I'm going to learn this. And that's when it started And as time went on, I even I joined that little church, and it was doing it. And they even came when I felt comfortable in ministering to someone. And at that point, then I was doing finally one about every evening, and I realized I needed help in this. So because physically it starts pulling on you. Of course, back then we didn't know to do what we know to do today. It's taken us over these decades to get it together to where it's more efficient, quicker, and lasting. But nevertheless, we still help people. And so I decided I'd better get some help, and so I formed Deliverance Ministries Incorporated back then in 1978. And with the idea of sharing what I had learned with others that would maybe have an interest in learning to do this. And I found out there were quite a few around as I talked to people, and I started sharing what I'd learned, and we picked one night a week to do ministry, which is Monday nights. And so I do a teaching first, and then take them through a door-closing prayer, which is designed to close the best we can the 15 doors that we've learned about that demons can use to come through to torment Christians. And so we it's a broad attempt to close those doors. Does pretty well. I've tweaked it 38 years now. And then I assign a minister to each person, and they we rent a church on Monday nights. We have too many to do it in our office. And we go after it, and each minister has a checklist. They learn to do these steps, and we start at 5:30 and usually free around 10:30. That's how it worked out pretty much Monday night, and people get these wonderful Jesus overhauls. It's just exciting to all of us, and the ministers are all on high.
Amen. Amen. Well, Christ says he wants our joy to be made full. He came to bring life and life abundant. And, you know, if we don't have that, as a Christian, we should ask ourselves why. And be open to why don't I have that abundant life?
Yes.
You know, we see even in the Christian community, the deeds of the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we see families stolen and destroyed and death and destruction. And you know, that's not of the abundant life that Christ desires for his children, that Christ desires for us.
And look at the suicide spirits that are so rampant,
you know.
Our
soldiers, you know, pray for our soldiers.
Yes.
You may not agree with the war, you may not agree that, you know, with what we're doing, and but you know, they are our brothers. My brother is a 20 some odd year first sergeant. You know, they are they're still God's children. They're you know, our soldiers are, and more soldiers have died in this perpetual war that we've been in since 2011 or 2001. More soldiers have died in that by suicide than by combat-related deaths.
It's unreal, isn't it?
It is. But unfortunately, it's very real. It is an epidemic in the land. Our children, you know, God's word is true. I think it's Hosea 4:6. He says, "You forget my law, forget your children," and he means you forget. You know, you forget my commandments. Jesus made it simple: love God and love your neighbors yourself. Everything hinges on that. You know, but the enemy that was defeated 2,000 years ago at the foot of the cross, the enemy doesn't give up. And you're right, that spirit of suicide, that spirit of stealing, killing, and destroying, it's a death culture that seems to have been, or is trying to take over today. Whereas we used to have
yes,
a Christian culture.
Exactly right.
Yeah, we used to have a Christian culture in the land. And we don't anymore. It's as simple as that.
Yes. The enemy's taken full advantage of that.
They have. They have. And
so many of the soldiers often need inner healing that we do a lot of. Yes. It's part of our process and deliverance of where Jesus will come in and heal the bad feelings connected to those traumas and memories.
Amen.
Of the past.
Amen.
And of course, as soldiers certainly experience a lot of that.
Sure.
But many people do, even young people, in their views, experience traumas, probably to adults it wouldn't seem to be that big a deal a lot of times, but to a child in those young teenage brackets and all, they can be major.
Amen.
And I've had three of my grandchildren that I've had to cast spirits of suicide out. They contacted me, and I was able to cast those spirits out. They yawned them out, right. Coughed them out. I even got the head demon up.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
One of them. And so
it's something to recognize. It's something to recognize that is there. We read about it, Ephesians 6. We battle against the world forces of this darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness. Spiritual forces of wickedness. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. We might have flesh and blood enemies at times, but the word is true there. Well, we've got the phone line ringing. Maybe we've got time to take a caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to Hope is Alive.
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Yeah, hey, this is Roger. Brother Everett told me to call in. How you doing?
We're doing well, Roger. Welcome to the program. We've got about 8 minutes left, but... yeah, welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, he just wanted to talk with me a little bit about the deliverance that I've experienced.
Sure, and he's on here with us.
Yeah, hey, Brother Everett.
Glad you called in. Quickly, we just got 7-8 minutes left. Just tell how you first learned about deliverance and then any experiences that you're comfortable in sharing.
Yeah, I learned about deliverance back in, 1998, whenever I was struggling with chemical dependency, and I just, kept going to church, kept praying, kept doing the things that I was taught growing up that were the things that you're supposed to do to be a good Christian, and didn't realize that there were other forces that were not taught to me growing up, that there were other forces at action, against my Christian walk and my relationship with Christ. Just kept feeling like I was in a, in a washing machine, just kind of spinning around and around and around and not getting anywhere. So I ended up at Deliverance because a friend of mine, Jeff, he recommended that I come and boy, when I walked out of there, I sobered up and haven't touched anything in over, 17 or 18 years. I don't even know. I don't even remember. It's been so far back. And then, as of recently, I've had some, problems with, lust and other issues that spending money unwisely, compulsive actions, lots of anxiety, different things like that cause me to do things that are against, my character in Christ, and who I was created to be. So, I went to Deliverance again probably about a year and a half ago, it really we broke some strongholds that me and my wife had allowed into our relationship, and we just we had our daughter. She came in and she was on different psychological meds and things like that, and she walked away from that completely healed. And my wife and I have, we've had our struggles, but we really worked through things because I believe on the big part from Deliverance, because as Christians, things happen to us, and we open doors and let the enemy have these avenues in our life, and we just stop doing the things we're supposed to be doing, like, you know, taking authority over the enemy in the name of Jesus, and different things like that. And what happens is, you know, anything can creep in, whether it's, you know, pornography or lust or, you know, anything that causes you to break that relationship, not your salvation relationship, but that relationship or fellowship with Christ. And so for me, that's what happened over the last 6-8 months. You know, things started going pretty good. I got out of deliverance. And, I mean, you know, and I was so free that it's almost deceiving, because, you know, you start thinking that you're the one that did it. And, I mean, at least that's what I did. And I stopped giving, you know, I stopped giving my spiritual walk the time and the effort, you know, and not believing that I have all power in the name of Jesus, Luke 10:19, to walk in freedom every day, you know. But it takes, you know, a willingness and, you know, action on my part to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit has given us, you know, the power that we've got. You know, a lot of times we're told that we have to, you know, be totally dependent upon God, which that's true. We're told that we need to be totally dependent on God, but He expects us to use the power and walk in freedom, you know. So,
amen.
That's kind of my story, you know. It's I think life is full of, as you would say, Brother Everett, you know, forks in the road, and I think you have to take God's way. And the way to do that, you know, what one of the brothers was talking about the other night in deliverance, he was talking about how you have to, you know, there's four tools that you have to use, and one was purge the thought, and I don't remember the other three, but the second one was we have to command the enemy, and that was one of them, I think. You have to command the enemy, and you just don't pray about it, but you actually have to command him to leave. To leave you alone, to leave your family alone, and because you have that power. It's a misunderstanding, yes, that we have in our theology, that we're taught that you don't have the power, but you do have the power, because Jesus already did the work at the cross.
Amen.
And that's where,
amen,
the power comes from.
We're about out of time, Roger. Is there anything quickly that you'd like to say to the people before we cut you loose?
Well, I would just say that you know, if you're struggling and you're a Christian, especially you're a Christian man, I think that there's help for you on the website. You know, because I've sent a lot of my friends and stuff and things to that on the website. But I definitely think that even if you're a Christian man or in the ministry or anything like that, you know, you still need deliverance if you're walking in bondage. That's all I can say.
Amen.
You know,
well, thanks, Roger, for sharing that. That no doubt spoke to many of the listeners. And I'll be visiting with you later. Thanks again for calling in, and God bless you, brother.
Okay, you too. God bless you.
Jesus is there. He's there calling.
Amen.
I like that. I like that. That we have to, you know, make that right choice. Make the right choices.
Yes.
Well, brother, we're out of time. I mean, we're just right off the air right now. Thanks so much, Pastor Cox. God bless. Have a great rest of the week.
Blessings to you.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every night till it seems like every breath of hope has died.